This is another episode of
Into the Godfight!
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is part two of our hardcore discussion.
And you, what's your name?
And I'm Shoddy.
Jason.
Stan the Man. And I think he's back. I don't know yet.
Can we find him? And what is the special guest?
We just want to apologize ahead of time for anybody listening. If you don't know, this is, I don't know if I want to call him a friend, but...
I don't know anymore if he's a friend.
Yeah, childhood acquaintance, I guess we could say. Ross Kernicki. Someone, all right. So we're continuing part two of our special hardcore series here. Part one, we covered a few bands you might know: Terror, Code Orange. Got into a little bit of Shai Hulud.
Stick to Your Guns.
Down to Nothing. Some good albums. We are continuing that. Oh, and we had an interview with Expire, Zach from Expire. So if you didn't listen to that one yet, go back, probably listen to that one first. And we're going to get into the rest of our list right now. We're going to start it off with a big band. We talked about Terror. In my eyes, this is the other band that matches Terror in their significance and, I don't know, popularity. And I think they're a good band for us to be talking about. We are a metal and hardcore podcast. And if you haven't guessed it yet, Hatebreed is the metal and hardcore band.
Born to bleed! Fighting to succeed! Built to endure! What this world throws at me! Born to bleed! Fighting to succeed! Built to endure! What this world throws at me! Born to bleed! Fighting to succeed! Built to endure! What this world throws at me!
Oh man, Hatebreed's one of those. I remember seeing Hatebreed probably on demand, thinking this was the shittiest stuff I've ever listened to. I mean, yep. I seen, you know, we'd see posters of like Hatebreed show coming up, like, oh, that'd be cool to go to, like, and then you actually get into them, and I'm like, oh my god, I fucked up all those years. I mean,
Hatebreed, when you see Jamie with his, you know, bandanas and stuff back in the day, it wasn't something we were looking for at the time.
Exactly, you know, but Hatebreed,
we were wrong.
I've not heard one bad song by them. I mean, from start to finish, they are one of the most influential, like, I don't know.
They broke down doors for hardcore, I think.
They did.
Like, they put it on the map. I mean, you've got Hatebreed touring, like, off their first couple albums. They're going out with Slayer, Napalm Death. Like, they were doing big, big tours, you know, and they still held on to that hardcore sound, but they threw in the extra metallic edge. You know, like, there were bands that were doing that, like Earth Crisis and things like that before. But Hatebreed definitely, I think, you know, they just brought it to another level, and they got the right tours and they put it on the map. And then you have Jamie doing like Headbangers Ball and all that. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, man. You got to look at Hatebreed as very important for the genre.
Oh yeah, but what CDs do you guys pick out of theirs? I mean, they got a lot, but
they have a lot of content, so it's kind of hard. I mean, I'll be honest, haven't listened to. I can't say that I've heard every single song. I mean, it's.
I have. Do I know everyone like front to back? No, I don't. I mean, it's hard. They got too much stuff. I mean, every other band we talked about and we're going to talk about, I kind of had an idea what I wanted to pick, but this was the one I was like, what the, you know,
I agree.
I thought I had my CD, but I went with the self-titled one.
See, you know what? And I was just going to say, like, I couldn't be mad about any album you say, because they don't differ that much. Mm-hmm. Every album is consistently good. And they don't really change their sound much. But I will say, I think the self-titled might be my least favorite.
I get it. I mean, I really do.
I don't know why, though.
Yeah.
Why is it your favorite?
It's the nostalgia reasons. That's what got me into
Hatebreed.
That makes sense. You know, that's the first thing you hear.
You know, and I kind of listened to it and thought this is kind of a joke at first, too. And then you actually kind of dig deeper into it, and I'm like, wait, this is not a joke. This is some good shit. And, you know, I wanted to talk about perseverance.
Dan, you get it.
Yeah, I know. I suck at talking. But, no, I really wanted to, but I just didn't know it enough to put it up to that spot. Like, I know the self-titled start to back, you know.
Right, right.
But
see, for me, Rise of Brutality is long been my favorite Hatebreed album. It's like the most, you know, they started putting a little more of the metal aspect into it. I think they did progress a little on that one. It's very polished.
Mm-hmm.
But for my list, I did write down Divinity of Purpose. It's their most current one. Again, mm-hmm. like I said before, I'm trying to bring in a little more of the current albums into mm-hmm. this to talk about, because I think Hatebreed is a band that's still bringing it in 2016.
Oh,
I think
yeah.
they're still relevant. Yeah, are they putting out similar material and they're not really pushing boundaries? But to put out an album as good as Divinity of Purpose is, like, they shouldn't still be putting out albums that good.
Mm-hmm.
They should be out of ideas by now and out of passion. But, like, they are still doing it. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's one of their best albums.
Well, I agree. I mean, I love that album, you know. But I liked it because it was so polished, though, too. Like, it's very good production. But that's also kind of... I mean, I wouldn't say the self-titled is probably one of the not better production ones, but... Perseverance. I don't even know.
My God.
But no, I mean, that one is very polished, and you know, that's one of their older ones too. And but yeah,
Ross, what did you pick?
So I have my top three from them are self-titled, just because it has In Ashes We Shall Reap. That's like one of my favorite tracks off that. Definitely to Stan's point, like nostalgia. Then I would say that my number two was Supremacy. I just really, really like that CD. I remember listening to that one of the years in college, like the whole semester, looped that. And then, yeah, the Divinity of Purpose is like, I've been listening to that like this week. And to Jason's point, yeah, like they've been around so long, and for their most recent CD to be one of their best, in my opinion, also is kind of crazy that they can still, like, I don't know, like make such a badass CD. Just my favorite thing about this band is how tight their grooves are. It's just, they have the perfect riffs and the best like transitions. That's what I'm looking for in this style of music. And then like the positivity, or not even positivity, but like the more of you listen to this music and it's like, it just gives you like an edge. If you're ever feeling like down or something like that, it's like kind of like get up and get off your ass, you know? And so I kind of use this as like motivation sometimes too.
I agree, dude. Like that's the one thing out of every Hatebreed album, like they are so big on positivity, you know, like rise from the ashes, like that style, you know. And I guess that's a criticism too, because it's like the same thing throughout each album, but you're right, like that's what you're looking for when you put a Hatebreed album on, you know, whether you're going to the gym or whatever you're doing, you're gonna get that message from it. And I think that's cool. I think it is refreshing in hardcore. I mean, you do have a lot of that in hardcore, but...
I think it's funny, though, Ross, that you threw out Supremacy, because that's the Hatebreed album that made my list for much of the same reasons that the self-titled made Stan's. It was one of the first albums that I listened to, as you know, the nostalgia factor. I completely agree with what everybody has said too. I mean, Hatebreed has to be one of the most consistent bands across any genre. I mean, to do what they've done for as long as they've done it for is amazing.
Check them out. I mean, if you have never checked out Hatebreed, you need to, like,
especially if you're listening to our podcast.
Yeah,
I mean, because so far we've covered more metal. So if you're more of a metalhead, you know, like, this is a perfect entry point if you haven't listened to hardcore.
And don't let the popularity of the band cloud your judgment of how, you know, good or bad they may or may not be, because I guess that's one of the main reasons why I didn't, you know, listen to them at first and maybe thought that it was a joke. How can a band that produces this type of genre be so big? So, I don't know, I guess that's just my little two cents there.
Let's jump into another one.
Let's talk about, I want to talk about this Malfunction.
Okay. Yeah, actually, that's a good one to come off Hatebreed. Malfunction, I'm talking about their album from 2015. It's called Fear of Failure. This isn't an album that I listened to like the full year or anything. I listened to it and then I put it aside. It didn't make my top of 2015 or anything. But then when we were getting ready for this episode, I put it on again. And I don't know, it stood out to me. Like, there's a lot of bands right now that are doing the heavy, raw, hardcore sound. But Malfunction, I think, is one that's one of the higher ups, okay? Like, they're going on tour right now. They're going to be on tour on that Bane final tour with Expire for some of the dates. So listen to them. I mean, if you like the heavier sound, like maybe a Kublai Khan or the more raw types of bands like that, then I would say give them a listen. Maybe we'll play a little clip. I'm going to play, it's from the self-titled track, Fear of Failure. Surprised me because I don't always go for that harder edge. Like I said, I like more of the punk side of hardcore. You know, I come from more of a punk rock background, and so I like the speed and the aggression. But I also come from, you know, metal background, and this one pulls from way more from that side. And I just think they do it right. Like, the raw production is a big part. The vocals are raw. Everything about it, it's just on the low end.
That's the one thing that stood out, was the vocals. It's just very raw.
And there's another band I'm going to talk about, but I'll hold off on it. Let's go, Shoddy, let's go to yours. That's a similar vein.
It's similar. It's, you know, going down that avenue of, you know, being hard. I mean, I don't know if I would use the term raw to describe Chibulba or not, but I would just say hard, honestly.
It's like heavy.
Probably one of the heaviest hardcore.
Yeah. Like, it's almost...
Don't quote me on it, but I think they dropped their guitars down like maybe like three steps.
Dude,
like,
if they don't drop it down, I would be very surprised. Because I'm trying to think of like somebody who gets that low in the hardcore community.
I'm thinking the one that comes to my mind is Nails. They are a lot. They're much more like grindcore influenced. They're hardcore, but like draw from some grindcore, but super heavy. And interestingly, I believe they used one of the members of Nails produced this album.
Okay.
So you can see like the crossover. That's what they were going for. They wanted that really heavy sound. That's the only band I could think of that's like that heavy.
Mm-hmm. So to touch on it again, we're talking about Chibulba. I'm going to butcher this album name. Hasta la Muerte. I don't know what the fuck it means. It's Latin. I don't know what it, or Spanish. I don't know what it means, or I don't know how to pronounce it. But
I know what it means, but I can't remember.
Oh, okay. I don't...
It's just heavy.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say about that album.
The bass drops, just, the way that these guys, well, they take the tempo too, and they'll slow the song down and get it very sluggish and then jump right back into it again.
Like, yeah. Like slug's a good word, like sludgeous or whatever. But.
Yeah.
Yeah. It pulls from that sludge type of metal and doom. Like
I was going to say, it has a lot of doom. That's what I was thinking of. It has a lot of doom metal influences.
It does, like doom metal, sludge, and some death metal. And then you throw that all into like a hardcore band, and I think that's what you would get out of it.
I mean, so I guess then highlight what we're talking about. We should play a song, and the song that I think would be the best one to play would be Laid to Rest.
I can probably just hum it.
Impressions?
So this band, the first song I ever heard from Jabulba was Madre Mia, off their first CD, and it was just like super badass. I really hadn't heard a band that heavy that I really liked. They kind of have like this good blend of like sludge and doom, but bringing it into, I don't know, more like structure or interest. I really don't know how to define what they're doing, but for me, who's really into like hardcore, having some, I would say, like drive and like rhythm to your beats and stuff, they just have a good blend that I really like, and they kind of are the first band that I've started listening to with like that doom, like sludge effect that I just really, really like.
No, dude, yeah, exactly. Like what we said with the doom and the sludge, I'm not the biggest fan of those straight like genres, subgenres in metal, but I do really like when it's incorporated into like hardcore or when you throw elements of it into metal.
Well, I guess the distinction between Jabulba and then the rest of the bands that just use, you know, the sludge, doomish type, you know, slow it down. Jabulba is still, and I hate that I keep going back to this fucking dance party that I always like to have, but you can still move to this music. Like Ross was saying, like, you know, like you can work out to the CD. It's a good driving CD. It gives you energy.
The hardcore element. Yeah. I mean, totally.
Exactly. So, I mean, I guess that's the, you know, the factor that's tying it all together. It's the reason that it's bearable. And I'm not saying that because, you know, I don't like it, but you get what I'm saying? Like, sometimes you listen to sludge or doom and it's just like, not to take away from that music at all, but it's just.
Yeah. I mean, I just think they're probably the best at what they do. And they're influencing a lot of bands right now.
Oh, yeah.
You're really hearing this sound after this album. And I mean, I think this is a cool album too. Like if you're into deathcore, you know, or death metal, and you like a little bit of hardcore, like you could put this on and you might actually, you know, I think it's a lot of crossover appeal.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't seen them live, I remember we saw them live and it was like, I don't know if you want to be in the audience during that kind of a show, but it was very intense.
Yeah, it was. But, you know, going back on the good live bands, I think we should get into To the Wind next. I only seen them once live. It was Warped Tour, but I mean, that was fucking amazing. Jason, they made your list.
Yeah, Ross, me and you have talked about To the Wind quite a bit. I think you actually showed me them, and I came into them on the album Empty Eyes, which if you're a fan of like Counterparts, 100th, Ghost Inside, those kind of melodic hardcore bands, then I would say give To the Wind a chance, because it's a very similar kind of album, but I think they should be at that same level. popularity-wise, because they're not yet. They're definitely still smaller. They signed to Pure Noise. I know they're working on a new album. But, oh, man, they're just so catchy, but also very heavy. What do you think about it, Ross?
Yeah, so To The Wind, we saw them, or I saw them open for Backtrack, and we got there late, and I was pissed because we saw them finish their second to last song, and then we only got to catch one, their final song, but it was so sick. And like, their guitarist has like one leg, so that like caught my eye. I was like, oh shit. And he was like getting super crazy on stage and stuff. And I think the song is called Hollow, that we like caught the end of. And it's got this weird part where they just stop the song and then end it on this like breakdown. So yeah, to like really nothing crazy different about the vocals, I would say. He's just like a really good vocalist. I really like his, you know, rhythm. And then just the entire band is really tight. And so, yeah, to that melodic hardcore, this is a good band to give a listen to.
Okay, so I'm going to play something from Empty Eyes, because I do think that's my favorite by them. I'm going to go ahead and play Without Warning. How can you look yourself from the eyes when you know the blood's killing you inside? What kills you inside? Here I am, falling for the things I've done again. But every time I walk away, you hurt my every memory. And every line you ever crossed, every bit you was, did I ever open late? Forget, I won't forget what you said to me. I can do this alone. I need you, no more than ever before. No more than ever before. And I trust in you. When no one can let me breathe, I don't need you. I can do this alone. I can do this alone. I don't need you. I just don't think you can beat it with melodic hardcore. Like, they should be a bit bigger than they are.
Yeah, that's just...
Yeah. No, I know. They're so fucking badass, dude.
Like, those leads, I mean... I Counterparts put out an album in 2015, and I feel like I compare them a little bit. But I just haven't heard these type of leads that mesh this well for me. You know, they have that emotional element that you want to hear in melodic hardcore. I don't know, man. These guys need to rise up a bit more, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. They're just a badass band. But, I mean, keeping on the melodic hardcore thing, I couldn't go through this list without mentioning The Ghost Inside. I mean, most of you probably out there know them. I mean, they're a huge band.
Especially with what's going on with them right now.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I mean, even if you don't know them, like, go and check them out, support them just from their...
Yeah.
We've talked about them quite a bit with their van accident. I mean, these guys are dealing with a lot of bullshit. Their drummer lost a leg. I heard he's either going to learn how to drum again with one leg or set up his kit to like be modified, which is pretty badass. But
yeah, I mean, I don't know. Their whole discography is just amazing. I even love the A Dying Dream. Is it called? Yeah. Never or Now or Never, that mm-hmm. CD. But I mean, their whole thing is good. But I mean, I got to talk about Returners. It's more of a nostalgia thing too. That's what got me into the Ghost Inside. But it's just I feel like it's the most. I think it's the most. How would you say it? I wouldn't say most hardcore, but it's definitely the most punkyish hardcore.
Okay.
CD. It's fast. It's you know, it's got that formula punk almost to it. You know, all their stuff's heavy. Yeah, I don't know if you guys' thoughts on Returners. I know.
I'll be honest. I don't like. I didn't really like the band until Get What You Give.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I get that, but.
I have went back, and Returners has got some super solid songs on it, but I don't have the nostalgic element that you have. I have that with Get What You Give.
I think I bought that CD for $5 at FYE on one of those racks walking out. So that's you know, that's why I got into them, but I just love it.
They're at the top of the game. I mean, from a lot of hardcore. I mean, mm-hmm. these guys are amazing. I mean, and there's been things before. I remember Terror, Scott Vogel called them out for not being like true hardcore, you know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they're definitely more on the melodic side of things, but I mean.
Well, let's just say right now, like, we're probably going to get called out online for like half the band, like Stick to Your Guns, the Ghost Inside. They're not hardcore. We don't really give a shit. Like, hardcore is a very big umbrella term, and we're coming from everything from chaotic to melodic to stand to traditional to old to punk hardcore. Like, we don't give a shit. It's all mixed in there, and you know, it just gets pretty boring if you're gonna stick with like you know what I mean, agnostic front for your whole life. So anyways, just a side note, but I think they deserve some respect. Yeah, they've got some clean vocals in there and all that, but they do what they do extremely well.
Yeah, and they're just fun to see live, and
they're passionate. And Scott Vogel, just to follow up, he has went back to say like he really wasn't right about that, and you know, he apologized, and they're cool, you know. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, man. I would love to see like a tour with them and like To the Wind or something like that.
Oh yeah. Well, I think it's Shoddy's turn.
What do we got on this list?
Let's talk about Carpathian.
Oh, Carpathian.
Okay, so I guess we should go into a little brief history of how we found
Carpathian. I already see two boners rising because we're starting to talk about Australian metal.
Mm-hmm. It's not Australian metal. We're talking about Crafter. I mean, he's not on the CD, but okay, this is how I found out about Carpathian. Michael Crafter, we found out he was, you know.
He did vocals for a little bit.
Yeah, live, you know, but like, this is one of those CDs.
So let's just set the stage, though. Michael Crafter from I Killed the Prom Queen.
And Confession.
I think of Michael Crafter from Confession, but, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wasn't I Killed the Prom Queen the biggest?
Yeah, that was his first band, but I don't, you know, it was the most not hardcore, though.
Anyway,
whatever.
Going to Carpathian, though, sticking with, I guess not sticking with because we went the more melodic route, but we're jumping back into, you know, the more harder side of the hardcore.
The metallic side.
The metallic side. I mean, from vocals, I don't know that there's, I guess I don't want to say that. He's just very brutal. Mm-hmm. I don't know who's on the album actually, but it's a very brutal singer. It's very deep. It's very metallic.
But it's got the tuned down guitars like mm-hmm. metal, but it is got the hardcore riffing the whole time.
I would say it definitely, for me, I was thinking it gets pretty close to metalcore.
It does get pretty close to metalcore, but with the amount of two-step that's in there and with the amount of breakdown.
I'm not denying it, but
mm-hmm.
it blurs lines. Like, I would think more of like hardcore influenced metalcore, but that's just me being like real nitpicky.
I mean, it doesn't matter. Yeah.
I definitely don't agree, but I think they do the hardcore parts. They do it well enough to fit on a hardcore episode.
Mm-hmm.
I was surprised because, you know me, I'm not like a huge Crafter super fan just because I could never get into I Killed the Prom Queen. But this is pretty good. Like, his vocals. He's a vocalist on this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
no, he is not.
Oh, he's not?
He never recorded with the band. Yeah. He was, but that's how I found out about it, because he was singing with them at some point.
Well, it's solid. Yeah. It's solid. I mean, because I never got into I Killed the Prom Queen. Confession was one that I redeemed it for me a little bit, at least the ones like the albums that didn't have the cleans in them, where it's just Crafter going full force. I thought that was pretty good, but I'll be honest, I'm not like the biggest Australian hardcore fan.
I guess that's what I would say about this album, though. Nothing to Lose is that it does. It's what it is, though. It's full force, you know, from start to finish. It doesn't.
You're just jumping up, up and down the whole time. I feel the same love for it as you, but.
I mean, is there any song that weighs more on the album to you? I mean, The End of the 1980s is a good one.
Yeah.
Who the Fuck Taught You Snaps is a good one.
Oh, if we're going to play one, we got to play that.
I guess, we should play that one. I don't know. I see where you could, you know, think that it's, you know, I guess
it blurs lines.
It does. It blurs
lines.
But
it's definitely just I. It's got the feeling I get from listening to it is the same that I get from listening to a hardcore band.
I agree.
The same of
I completely
listening to
agree.
A metalcore band. Mm-hmm. So that's why I classify it.
It's a little more straightforward for me and less progressive. And they don't. You get what I'm saying? Like, I guess I know what I'm getting when I listen to that album. I know.
It's like they had a very like early like 2000s. Feel to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like mid to early 2000s feel.
I definitely recommend them. It's not a bullshit band just to check out. It's good shit, but
I want to bring things back into unquestionable hardcore with Rotting Out. One of my favorite from the more recent years because they've got the punk element in there like so much. It's a very old school hardcore sound,
mm-hmm.
but they mix enough of the modern edge to it that it sounds fresh. It doesn't sound like, you know, it doesn't sound like a throwback band per se, but they're not reinventing any wheels or anything. The album that I picked for this one is Street Prowl. Wrong Way and Street Prowl, they're two full lengths they put out. Either one could go on there. They're very similar. Wrong Way has a little more like variance in it. They slow down a little bit, but Street Prowl has much more of the thrashy crossover thrash feel and like I said, the punk feel to it. So yeah, I want to play. I'm going to go ahead and just play the first song, Street Prowl, off of Street Prowl.
So where do I start? A place, a person. I open the past that was meant to fall apart. I look inside the mind that lies behind these eyes. So after all, the wind where it lies. Street Prowl. Street Prowl. Street Prowl.
A freaking shame, RIP.
Yeah,
this band is no more.
Did we ever figure out a reason?
They never said. They said, don't ask.
I know. I just didn't know if later we found something out.
They never said, but like, And what makes them even more badass, like if you've ever seen them live, Walter.
I was just going to say that. It was so intense. It was so badass.
It's like a toothless, big, huge Mexican up on stage just screaming the shit out at you.
It just looks like a bear. Like, that's what I thought. Like,
such good stage presence. Ross, I know you're a fan. Please help me out a little bit with routing out.
Yeah, man. They're badass. I don't know how else to define it. It's like old school brought with like a new just kind of touch, you know? And then, yeah, man, to your point, the live show is so, that's what made that band so fucking awesome. It was just basically just intense as fuck.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, that's an album I'm going to put on summertime. Like, I don't know, man, for me, it's like, it's got that energy to it. You're driving your car. Like, I'm going to put on Street Prowl all the time. And if anyone is interested in this band, I found out about a band that Walter was in, I think another member too, Minority Unit, was before Riding Out. Also really good, really good. Similar style. So if you dig them, I would jump into that a little bit. All right, I'm jumping into another one of mine. Similar vibe for me. Like these are two that I played a lot last summer. And this one is Cruel Hand. The album is The Negatives. Now, I could have picked Lock and Key, which came out before this one, which a lot more true hardcore fans would probably go with. This one gets a lot of hate, The Negatives. But because they threw in a lot of pop punk influences in there, as well as they've always had this Metallica sound, James Hetfield vocal style. And they amped it up a little bit on this album. But I don't know. I don't give a shit. I think it's really good. It's almost guilty pleasure-ish, but it's, I think they are putting a fresh sound into, I mean, they did what they did really well, and they could keep putting out that similar sound that they were doing before. But I think on The Negatives, I don't know, man. It's just, it's got a fresh energy to it. I think I dig it quite a bit.
I can't agree with you on it. I really do like the CD before. But I was kind of on that bandwagon. I'm not giving them hate. It's solid, but like, I did actually go see them live, and they played with Neck Deep, and I forget what the other band was, but, you know, I went there just to see them, and I think I was the only one in the crowd. Like, I think I looked over, and there was one other dude, like, sitting there head-hanging, but, I mean, they just put on such a good show, and, like, it was just awesome seeing them, like, in that kind of crowd. Like, you know, you can hear the Metallica influences, and that's the first, like, I think we seen them, what, at Bloodfest or something?
Yeah.
First, and, like, I was blown away. I was like, somewhere this is like heavy metal, but, like, hardcore. Like, I don't know.
They were already pushing boundaries on Lock and Key with those vocals.
Yeah.
Because they had choruses. Mm-hmm. Not in all of it, though, but on a few of them. That's why I thought about putting that one on there, because it does have those elements without going as far as they did on The Negatives. I don't know. And at first, I didn't like the Metallica vocals, but I do now. I think it just grew on me. I mean, I'm going to play just a short clip of this, because if you've never heard them, I'll play one where you can really hear the Metallica vocals. This is probably like their most accessible song on here. So if you don't like it, you could still check them out, because they still have their like old school raw sound on a lot of the other tracks. But this one's Unhinged, Unraveled.
I watch it go, but only smoke. You're at the end and you hold that rope. And when you play, it's all for great. The sickness that's inside you is inside of me. I am the beast, a human being. I'm everything I said I'd be.
Very poppy.
Oh, yeah. A little too poppy.
I can see why wouldn't like it.
It's very, you can hear the heavy metal influences, and I do like that. I mean, I mean, I like Judas Priest. I like Metallica. I like, you know,
yeah.
I like all that stuff. But
and I like pop punk too. So for me, yeah, I don't. I like it. I mean, I could see why you don't, why you wouldn't like it, as long as they're doing it for the right reasons. If you know, if they're just putting this in there to like tour with, you know, the story so far and get huge, then like, I can't respect that. But if they're into that kind of stuff and they're just pushing their sound a little bit, I'm all for it. You know, hardcore can use that once in a while.
Okay. I'm not going to go too long on it, but I want to talk about this band called Death Before Dishonor.
They've been around
I don't
a while,
really
right?
know a lot about them. I just know of them. They got a lot of YouTube videos. They're not really big, but I mean, they got a lot of like music videos and the CD Better Ways to Die. It's just very hardcore formula. I mean, two-step, I mean, breakdowns. I mean, I know this whole cast is about that, but like, I don't know, just solid... solid hardcore band, a little bit on the heavier side, but not too heavy to where, like, Jason, I know you said you don't like that kind of stuff, but I think it's very accessible, heavy, hardcore.
It's got some of the punk influence in there.
Yeah, oh, yeah, exactly.
Sure.
Solid vocalist. I mean, he's I don't want to be mean or anything, but he's probably not the best-looking dude. Like, the first time I've seen him, he looked like an orc of a World of Warcraft. But
I've never seen him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. They're just, like... they're just one of those bands I just want to sit or run around, jump around, listen to, but...
very, like, a lot of energy.
Yeah.
I got, like, the sing-alongs, you know what I mean? Like, the gang vocals.
Yeah.
Like, you got... it's got the old-school feel, but definitely some modern vibes, too. Yeah, I dig it, for sure.
I guess let's go off of my list for a second. I had Throwdown, Haymaker on my list. Did you guys have Throwdown on your list?
That's one of those ones. It's like number 16, number 17, kind of. It's like almost there, didn't make it. But I seen your list earlier just to prepare a little bit, and I kind of was like, ah, damn it. You know, that's a good pick. Like, I definitely dig that album a lot.
I don't know. I'm not the big... you definitely have to be into this kind of style. Like, if you've never heard Throwdown before... it, you know,
they're a band you want to hate, but
yeah, it's bro time. I mean,
but they do it so well.
They
like,
do.
That's
I agree. Like if I'm in the right mood, then if I'm in the gym, like it's gonna be effective. I don't always pick this kind of hardcore, and I've had this like thing back and forth where bands like this, where the lyrics are very, I don't know if you want to just say like tough guy or whatever. You know, I think Lionheart kind of falls in that category where it's like I don't give a shit attitude. And it's made for men. Like, it's made for males. Like, you put this stuff on in the gym. I doubt there's very many females that are going to love these kind of bands.
Yeah.
So, I feel like it calls on a little bit of all of us in that way. You know what I mean? Like, when you're in that right mood. But then there's also part of me that's like, if I'm not in the right mood, I'm thinking it's kind of corny. You know what I'm saying? It might be a little too much.
I agree. I just, if I'm not in the right mood, I just don't listen to it. But I completely, I would have always just called it, back in the day, just tough guy metal, because it kind of, you know, I get what you're saying, and I get where the turnoff is sometimes. For me, I guess, and I hate saying this because it's so important in the hardcore community, but with Throwdown, I don't want to say that I tune out the vocals, but I guess it's more about
the music,
the heaviness in the music. Yeah, it's more about I like the way that they flow from the breakdowns back to, I guess, whatever you want to call the melody that they're playing. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's their transitions are nice, and I think that they do a really good job that way.
The one thing I really did like about it, though, besides the hardcore heaviness to it, is they got the groove metal in their stuff. And, you know, they're going back to Pantera influences.
I was just
going to
say
that's what I really like. They're not... it's really not just another hardcore CD. It's really... they're doing something a little bit different. So
basically, it's like a hardcore Pantera.
Yeah,
is what the vibe I got.
Because the only thing that I guess you could say is, you know, generic in the sense are those vocals. Because everything else, you know, I get, you know, like musically, they don't stick to the traditional hardcore formula, but yet they still got that hardcore sound.
They're an interesting band too, because they progress their sound a lot. Like, they changed their sound a little bit. I remember listening to them back in the day, and then listening to this one, I don't know if I've ever listened to this album before you brought it up, and it was a lot different. They've gone like more metal in some albums. Some albums are more hardcore. This specific one, like I said, really, I really thought of like Pantera through a hardcore like lens. You know what I'm saying? But definitely good. I go back and forth on these kind of albums. I'm not trying to dismiss it.
I get you. I completely. It's for me too. It has to be mood. I mean, I could. Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna lighten up a little bit. I want to talk about a band. Ross, I'm hoping you have my back on this one. I don't know if you guys checked them out, but the band Champion, very short-lived. Very, I think they only put out like two CDs or something.
I was pissed they were broken up when I listened to it.
I absolutely fell in love with this band. The CD Promises Kept. They're just, you know, Jason, I know you like the punk side of stuff.
Exactly.
And it is just, but it's a very melodic in some ways. But like, I don't know, I just want to play a song. I can't go without playing a song on this one. So I'm going to play, it is called Promises Kept, actually. It's just fast, and it's just punk, 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 punk.
Yeah, it reminded me, like, you had another one on here, and they all kind of had this a little more, like, towards the Comeback Kid Bane vibe.
Yeah.
Like, where it's, like, more towards the energy, less of the breakdowns, more on the punk side of, or the older school hardcore, I guess, you know what I mean? And
it's a whole New York vibe, but yeah.
Yeah, right. I really do like that a lot more than I do, like, I'm not cutting down, like, Throwdown exactly, but, like, it's just more my style,
I
my
feel
cup
you.
Of tea.
But speaking of New York hardcore...
Are we going backtrack?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, honestly, like, that's one of my top three, probably? Top five? I don't know.
I numbered mine. I don't think you guys did, but that was not my number two hardcore CD.
Okay. I could see it for sure.
Yeah,
especially... Lost in Life.
I think we talked about it last week or something on the last episode. We talk about how it sucks to be a guitarist nowadays because all the riffs are gone.
Yeah.
I can't write a hardcore song for the life of me because Backtrack took every single cool riff.
It goes to show, like, they're still coming up with some good shit.
Oh,
man.
I know, yeah.
Props to them.
Very, very young band, very...
Yeah, I mean, it's not like they're doing anything revolutionary. But, like, the riffs that they're putting together, the hardcore riffs that they're using, especially on Lost in Life, it's so catchy. But what I like about it, and I didn't say this before when I was talking about, I lump, like I said, Backtrack, Trapped Under Ice, Expire. I feel like those bands all have that similar sound. And what it is for me is, like, the groove, that, like, swagger almost, like, that attitude. Maybe that's a little bit of that hip-hop kind of thing. I don't know. Like, it totally has that for me.
I really do enjoy Expire. But the reason I didn't put them on my list is because I do lump them into with Backtrack too much, and I think Backtrack does it better. That's okay. Why they didn't make my list. But Backtrack, I don't know. We've seen them live, I don't know, a couple times now, and they put on a killer show. And
they do. They do it. I would say it's different than Backtrack in that Expire goes a little more for the raw stripped down.
Yeah.
Where Backtrack is a little more appealing to a broad audience, I think, because it's got the catchy, repeating, you know, choruses here and there and vocal lines. You know what I mean? You can latch on to it a little bit easier. Ross, I know you're a fan.
Yeah, Backtrack's, they're like rhythm and groove is just really fun. It seems like they always, you know, come up with just awesome rhythm parts. And so that's like what caught my ear to them. And just the more I listen to the CDs, it's like, I don't know, just solid hardcore, one of my favorites.
Yeah, I guess I would just add to that. It's hard to find something that Backtrack does wrong, but yet they don't do anything, I guess, that's that far off of, you get what I'm saying, off of the hardcore trail. It's not like they're doing anything, you know, to lump them in some, you
they're
know, different
genre. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. They're just doing it right. They're taking
right,
the formula
solid,
and they're
good.
Running with it.
Yeah.
And I don't, maybe it's because they're young that it sounds, you know, fresh to us. And it's, but yeah, it's hard.
Well, I think you said the key word though, fresh.
Yeah.
They're doing traditional style hardcore, but it sounds fresh. Mm-hmm. They're finding a way to make it fresh.
But I mean, I'm trying to figure out how, like, you know, I guess to further, you know, describe how it differs from, you know, some of the more traditional things. And I can't, I mean,
yeah, I mean,
but yeah, I guess.
I would say it's just the combo of like the groove, like mm-hmm. Ross said, and the catchiness of it. I mean, you can sing along to these songs pretty quickly.
Oh yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But it's not like they're ever like losing any credibility or whatever. They're not like dumbing it down. You know what I mean? They're keeping it aggressive, but they're like, I guess what it is like their songwriting ability. They write really good songs. It's not just pure punk aggression. Let's bust this song out in a minute and a half. I feel like they put thought into these songs, and I don't know who produces it. I don't know if they're having help in that way or not, but it's just solidly written songs, in my opinion.
We should play a song from that album. I mean, the three of us all had it on our list. I mean, Ross agreed it would have been on his list had his lazy ass have made one. So I guess let's play...
it's in my brain, Chatty.
Let's play Lost in Life then.
You can't go wrong with any. I mean, I think that one definitely shows the catchiness of that album. Darker Half, also a really good album by them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't go wrong with that one. But Lost in Life is my go-to. Expire's on my list for sure. We did the interview with them in part one, so I'm not going to go into that one too much. I mean, I love them. I love Pendulum. I love their most recent Pretty Low, and I'm really excited to see what they put out next. But I'm not going to go into that. Listen to the interview and the songs we played with that one. Another one that I found out just this year, 2015, is Blistered. They had an EP that came out called Soul Erosion. It was really good. And then they put out a full length this year. It's called The Poison of Self-Confinement. And it's more along the lines of, like, you know, the moshcore or the metallic hardcore. Kind of what you would hear, like, the 90s metallic hardcore sound. A little bit of a throwback to that, but it doesn't sound dated at all. Very chuggy, like breakdowns throughout every song, but I don't think it gets repetitious because it interjects enough guitar riffs throughout it. It keeps it like very, very interesting. The vocals has that throaty style, a little similar to Malfunction, almost like something you might hear in, like, I don't know, I guess I don't want to say like death metal, but just think of that throaty coming from the throat style. And it's like just an atmosphere album. Like, it's nothing complex, but you put it all together, it's very solid.
I only got a chance to check out a couple songs, but I was definitely digging that shit. And I do want, that's like, it made a list of near future albums to check out. I just didn't have enough time to get to it, but really enjoyed it.
I had a feeling you would be into this one because it's on the heavier side of things. Yeah. Like I said, it's not my normal go-to as much, but this is one that really stood out. And if you don't have a lot of time to like to listen to them, put on Soul Erosion, the EP. I think it's a pretty good intro to them. It lays the groundwork pretty good. And then I'll just bust out one more of mine just to get out of the way. I think I have a few more of mine still. I talked about Turnstile during our Best of the Year list. And during our interview, Zach, he was talking to, we asked him a little bit about what he thinks, what bands are pushing the boundaries a little bit. And Turnstile was one that he mentioned. Along with, I don't know, everybody in the world right now is just basically throwing Turnstile at the leader of the pack. I know, you, Stan, you didn't love it.
We all know why. Some of the parts sound like other bands that I don't like. But
yeah, and I know what you mean. Like Rage Against the Machine, it's got some of the 311-type vocals and stuff. Yep. And it's, those aren't bands that I go to or anything, but I just think they're able to mix it into hardcore in a way that's fresh, but maintaining that hardcore feel. Ross, have you ever listened to Turnstile at all?
No, I haven't, but Rage Against the Machine and 311 are like some of my favorite bands. Stan, I don't know what shit you're smoking, but you're a fucking idiot.
you would love Turnstile, Ross. They have a lot of 311 influences. It's like,
and the groove that you love.
Yeah, it's like, it's weird because they're able to take like that groove jam bandish type of feel, and then yet they mix it with hardcore. So it's just like, Jason stole my word. I was again going to use fresh to describe their sound because it's not like, you know, anything that we've heard before. And I guess that's probably why that they're getting so much steam right now, mm-hmm. because it's such a unique sound. And unless you just listen to it, it's hard to, you know, it's hard to fathom 311, Rage Against the Machine. And I don't know what, you know, hardcore you would throw in there, but you get what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. three completely different bands like that lumped into one sound. So it's definitely unique. It's definitely something that you should check out.
Like, the album is called Nonstop Feeling, and that's kind of all you need to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not, it's, that's, it gives you an idea of what it's going to sound like. It's got the neon colors on it. And this is the drummer from Turnstile. Like I said, that band is pretty, it's got a lot of talent in Turnstile alone. To have all these side projects, this band is probably going to be as big as Turnstile.
Yeah. The next band I want to talk about, I'm going to make it really quick, but Reign Supreme, Testing the Limits of Infinite. I don't know if you guys ever checked out this band. Very, very on the metallic side. It kind of like the, what you're saying about the 90s metallic, going back to that, but I mean, they definitely do have like the metalcore influences, mm-hmm. and stuff, but very fast, very
another blurring the line kind of band.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They put out their last CD, Sky Burial. Very, I wasn't impressed at all because their EP and then their full length, fucking loved from start to finish.
Was the EP a little more hardcore, like gang vocals, yeah. and stuff?
Yeah, but I mean, even the, they're very similar, the EP and then the first full length.
Mm-hmm.
Then the second, I don't know if it's an EP, it's like seven songs, but it might be longer songs, I don't know. But I wasn't impressed by that, but Testing the Limits of Infinite, I mean, I just loved it from start to finish. It's got very raw sounding, very, it's hard to describe what...
If you like metalcore and hardcore... Yeah. I mean, it is, because it's very metalcore leaning, I think.
Yeah, I would agree.
It toes the line for sure.
Yeah.
I think the line is much more blurry in that case than it is with Carpathian.
I don't think it's just like recent hardcore. I mean, I'm thinking like early hardcore, like maybe like a Earth Crisis or like, you know, I can't think of mm-hmm. it right now, but like the older stuff. And I don't know. I just really enjoyed it, and it's just a fun album to listen to. But Shoddy, I believe, Evergreen Terrace.
Yeah, none of you guys had Evergreen on your list?
I, again, consider that much more metalcore.
Okay.
See, I disagree. It's a very melodic, but it's definitely the hardcore. I could put it on maybe the hardcore side of the line, but...
Some of the later stuff, maybe...
They definitely change album to album.
To be honest...
Yeah, you're exactly right. Yeah.
To be honest, this is the only CD by them I do like. I don't like any of their other stuff.
I'll be honest. Wolfbiker is the only CD of theirs that I've really given a chance mm-hmm. to. And I don't know, maybe if it's because, you know, when I listened to another one, it wasn't that same sound that I was used to hearing. But
the one thing I will say about this is I don't like the singer whatsoever. And we talked about it earlier. Josh James was in the CD, and he did a lot of background screaming for this band. And I can see how some people wouldn't like it, but I really like the that deep singer's voice. I think his name's Chaney. But I really do like his deep singing voice, the clean singing. But whoever screams in that band, I think they should just they should have got rid of him and just had maybe Josh do like the screaming parts, and then along with that different clean singing parts. But yeah,
I don't know. I like it. I think it's raw.
Yeah,
I think it kind of gives it that hardcore element. It's
But
that's one album I didn't listen to as much. I know they've got some good material. It's got like a very, it's got like a nostalgic feel to me, like a. Or again, like a more mid 2000s, early 2000s sound.
Yeah, you know, I listened to him a long time ago, but when I found out that that was the guitarist that went into Stick Your Guns, that's when I got into him, and I actually did appreciate him. But I enjoy it.
I'm gonna go next with Bane. This is obviously a hardcore staple. This isn't one of mine that I think are like, you know, the most relevant or pushing boundaries now or anything like that. That I threw on with some of the other ones, but. I really do like the style that Bane kind of pushed forward that we'll get into a little bit more with like Comeback Kid. And it's just that style of hardcore that it's not so much relying on the breakdowns of some of the bands that we talked about. You know, and Aaron, the vocalist, like that's pretty much the band for me. The album I'm talking about is Give Blood. And I know Ross, I think this is one of your favorites too from Bane. Give Blood, right?
Yeah. I remember I heard Bane on like some Epitaph mix CD when we were in like high school, and they're badass, and we got to see them a couple of years ago, supposedly their last tour, but that was sick.
Yeah, that was a killer show, but I didn't really know them going in that show, but I never realized how influential they were to this scene, but I think we're down to the last one.
Well, when you look at Bane, that style, I mean, I feel like we need to go right into Comeback Kid, because especially on their early albums, they basically took what Bane was doing and then they threw in that modern element to it. You know what I mean?
My favorite hardcore band out there, by hands down. See, my number one CD, Wake the Dead. I just love every...
You guys are going to think I'm crazy, because I don't know. I didn't... The Bane and Comeback Kid sound shoddy. Isn't like in the it's not the hardcore sound I guess that I like. It's too it's teetering too on the punk side.
Everyone's got their own opinions.
I know. I'm not. Don't get me wrong. I'm not dogging it. It just.
Well, from your list, you can see you're more on the mosh and some of the melodic stuff.
Yep. It's that's very true. It is more. You know, I want the breakdowns, and then I want, you know, I guess the more melodic side of things.
That's the thing about hardcore, though. It's so broad.
You can
go all over the map with it. But I think I'm with Stan. Like, it definitely one of my top, I don't know, top three for sure. Maybe my favorite hardcore band. And it's probably half because this is actually my first, I think, hardcore band that I got into. Wake the Dead, that album for me was huge. But I actually, from my list, I put their newest one. What's the name, Stan?
Dying Knowing,
yeah. Yeah, I guess because to me, it's got all the elements of Comeback Kid kind of mixed into one album. The early stuff definitely has more of the straightforward hardcore with more of the Bane influence and all that. But I don't know, dude. I really do like the energy that the new vocalist brought to the mix. What's his name?
Andrew Newfield.
Yeah. He killed it. I mean, I can't believe he came from being a guitarist, jumps into vocalist position, and just kills it. He pulls out everything from the older material to the new stuff perfectly. I never get sick of seeing them live. It's one of the bands that makes me feel like I'm 15 still.
I don't know how many times we've seen them live. I don't know how many out of those shows that I got piss-ass drunk in the front row. And I don't do that a lot, you know. There's only some bands I'll go up front, but I don't know. They just all around, whether I'm putting on their CD, going to a show, they make me feel happy inside. But
what did you pick album-wise?
I picked Wake the Dead. Just I had to. I was thinking about the first one, but Broadcasting All Right, Symptoms All Right, not full albums, but I mean, yeah, Dying Knowing. out of all of Andrew's singing CDs, best for sure.
Mm-hmm. Plus, but there's the one track on there that they have the old vocalist on. Mm-hmm. He came back for, I don't know, you can't go wrong with Comeback Kid. We should play something. You pick this one.
Oh, man. Let's just go classic and let's play False Idols Fall.
Your time is up! We've been counting down your days! Going over every false thing you say! We wish it could be different! Wish you'd stay the same! Tearing down our idols! Living life our own way! Taking the chance to say!
We got through our list finally. That was a lot of bands. Hopefully you didn't get bored through that. Hopefully you found a few that you can go and check out. Probably a lot you already knew, but you know, we had to go with our favorites. So
yeah, I mean, we know hardcore is mood based, so we hope that when you are in the right mood, you listen to this and you start two-stepping in that living room or wherever you're at. But
and if you're new, if you haven't listened to us before, we have a lot of metal based episodes. We get into metalcore, we get into everything. If you're a metal fan, hopefully you found a few bands you can dig in this. I feel like you get something out of it.
Yeah, as always, please let us know what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong. Facebook, Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Get our email, thecombine586@gmail.com, and Facebook.
I'm Shoddy.
Jason.
Stan the Man. And
special guest.
Want to thank our special guest again, Ross.
Ross.
Thank you for coming on board with us. This has been another episode of Into the Combine.
Stay metal.
Shit attitude, make my ears ring. See my happiness slip in the wind.